Radio Prague News.
President Klaus has issued a pardon to a Romani man whose child is fighting for her life after an arson attack on their home. Only seven of the EU's regional development ministers turned up for a meeting being held as part of the Czech presidency of the bloc. And the IMF says the Czech Republic's economy is likely to shrink by 3.5% this year. President Václav Klaus has issued a pardon to a Romani man whose child is fighting for her life after an arson attack on their home in Vítkov, North Moravia, last weekend. The father, who is 33, had been found guilty of theft, damage to property and driving without a license, but didn't turn up to begin serving a jail term in December. The authorities caught up with him after a petrol bomb attack on his house that left his two-year-old daughter with 80-degree burns. The man and his wife are also receiving treatment in hospital for the burns they suffered as a consequence of the firebombing, which is still being investigated. Reacting to the president's pardon, the head of the country's prison service said it wasn't clear whether the correct procedure had been followed in the matter. Ludjek Kula told the news website Novinky.cz that he had never before come across a situation in which the president had quashed a jail term without first beginning the process of looking into the case. Romani activists said on Thursday they would organise protests against a rise in extremism in the Czech Republic in over a dozen cities and towns on Sunday, May 3rd. They also announced a cash reward for information leading to the apprehension of those responsible for the attack in Vítkov. Only seven of the European Union's regional development ministers turned up for an informal meeting being held in Marianské Lázně as part of the Czech presidency of the 27-member bloc. The event's host, Czech Regional Development Minister Cyril Svoboda, said one reason for the poor attendance was the fact everybody in Europe knows that the Czech government is in resignation. The two-day gathering is set to conclude on Friday afternoon. The International Monetary Fund says the Czech Republic's economy is likely to shrink by 3.5% in 2009. In a global forecast that predicted world GDP contraction of 1.3% this year, the IMF said the Czech economy was likely to grow again in 2010, but only by 0.1%. Three firms have made it into the next round of a huge tender to deal with extensive environmental damage resulting from the communist era. At 115 billion crowns, or over $5.5 billion, the contract is one of the biggest ever offered by the Czech state. The companies in the running are Geosan Group, Marius Pedersen Engineering and Environmental Services, the finance ministry said on Thursday. The weather now, forecasters say we can expect a good deal of sunshine in the coming days. Temperatures should reach up to 20 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the International Monetary Fund issues a dire forecast for the Czech economy, saying this year it will shrink by 3.5%. We'll have Czech reaction to that as well as numbers forecast here on the jobless rate.
As regards unemployment, the worst part of development is only ahead. We think that by the end of the year, the unemployment level will be between 10-11%.
Also, Romani organizations begin a nationwide protest over increasing extremism, and we'll have a new edition of From the Archives about Czech cosmonaut Vladimír Remek. That's all ahead. Now, the International Monetary Fund has created a stir with a startlingly gloomy prediction for the Czech economy this year. The prestigious Washington-based institution says the Czech economy will shrink by 3.5% against a backdrop of a worldwide decline of 1.3%. Chris Johnstone looks at the figures and reactions.
The IMF forecast has created something of a local stir because the institution has gone out on a limb with a prediction that is far worse than most so far by the economic crystal ball gazers. The Czech government and Czech National Bank only last week said the economy would shrink by a maximum 2% this year. Former Czech finance minister, now chief analyst with Raiffeisen Bank, Pavel Metlik, sees the IMF prediction for the Czech economy as exaggerated.
We see it as a little bit too pessimistic. Our own forecast is a decline by 2.6% this year. And this is based on a precondition that the European economy of the European Eurozone, will decline by something like 3.5%, and German economy by about 5%.
The IMF figures for the Czech Republic are worse than neighbouring Poland, where the economy will shrink by only 0.7%, Slovakia, which will see a 2.1% decline, and Hungary with a negative 3.3%. Mr. Mertlik finds this Central European perspective puzzling.
Another important point is that it's quite interesting that IMF sees Hungarian decline less deep as the Czech one, which I don't know such forecast from any other institution, and currently really the Hungarian economic problems are much worse, so it must maybe also question the consistency of the IMF forecast.
Even with his own milder version of economic gloom, Mr. Mertlik still sees the overall Czech public deficit, including that of health insurance companies, ballooning this year to around 200 billion crowns, or around $9.7 billion. And the outlook for jobs is bleak.
As regards unemployment, the worst part of development is only ahead. We think that by the end of the year, the unemployment level will be between 10-11%.
The current unemployment rate is 7.7%. But for Mr. Mertlik, the biggest question is not how bad it will be this year, but whether next year will witness any signs of growth or a deepening recession.
Chris Johnstone reporting. Now, if you've been following news in the Czech Republic, you will be aware the community here, the Roma community, is outraged by the recent arson attack on some of its members, which left a 2-year-old girl fighting for her life and rendered 8 people homeless overnight. Several Romani organizations have called on the authorities to stand up to growing extremism in the country and are planning a nationwide protest to step up public opposition to the neo-Nazi movement. Jan Richter reports.
A schoolteacher from the community of Vítkov, North Moravia, where the torching took place, told reporters on Thursday that the locals were appalled by Saturday's attack, in which unknown assailants threw Molotov cocktails into a Roma family house. The teacher said the attack was totally unexpected, since relations between the majority population and the Romanis in the village had always been good. But the latest arson attack, in which a 2-year-old girl suffered severe burns on 80% of her body, was the third torching of a Romani house in the last year. The country's Romani community is extremely concerned by the growing number of neo-Nazi marches being held and the increasingly brutal physical attacks on Romanis. Ivan Veseli is the head of the Romani NGO GENO and deputy chair of the government's Council on Romani Issues.
It was enough the step for the Roma community in this country, and we decided to organize in the cities the protest. We must show the government and international community some the civic attitude, some the civic protest to push the government, to push the police to fight with extremists and neo-Nazis.
The protests will take place at the same time on Sunday, the 3rd of May, in all the big cities and a number of other locations. The organizers are calling on all who condemned the recent attack to join in. They have also started a money collection for the victims who have been left without a roof over their heads. But Mr. Veseli says that if the authorities are serious about cracking down on extremists, they have to get down to business.
Yeah, doesn't effectively work on the fight with the neo-Nazis in the Czech Republic. You will find many mistakes which did Minister of Interior on the case of the Labour's party. This is neo-Nazistical party here in the Czech Republic.
But better police work and a stricter approach to neo-Nazis alone is not likely to solve the problem. A study by the EU Agency for Fundamental Rights, which was released on Wednesday, shows that the discrimination of Romanis in the Czech Republic is more widespread than in any other EU country. Two-thirds of Czech Romanis said they had been subjected to some form of discrimination in the past 12 months, while 83% of them feel that they do not have equal opportunities when it comes to getting an education, finding work, getting medical attention, being served in a restaurant, or getting a bank loan. This is possibly the main reason for the dramatic nearly 1,000% surge in the number of Czech Romani asylum claimants in Canada in the last 2 months. The planned nationwide rally will show how much support from the majority population Czech Romanis can hope for.
Jan Richter with that story, one we will, of course, be following closely here at Radio Prague. From the archives is our very popular weekly short feature, making use of historic recordings here in the Czech Radio building. In today's episode, David Vaughan takes us to the year 1978.
On March the 2nd, 1978, for the first time, a person was launched into space who was neither a Soviet nor an American citizen. His name was Vladimir Remek, and he came from Czechoslovakia. Millions of Czechs and Slovaks had the chance to follow the event live, both on television and radio, and it was even celebrated in song.
Cestou snů, našich snů, dal se v lodi s hvězdou barvy červánků.
He embarked on the journey of our dreams beyond the ends of the world in a ship with a star as red as the morning sky.
Když od přátelství vzlétá ke hvězdám.
The ship with the red star was Soyuz 28, the third mission to dock with the Soviet space station, Salyut 6. The flight marked the beginning of the Interkosmos program, which aimed to give the Soviet Union's Eastern Bloc allies access to space. The launch took place at 15:28 Universal Time from a site in Kazakhstan. Czechoslovak radio's Ilya Jencha described the scene as the sky lit up and the rocket rose into the heavens. As the faces of the two cosmonauts on board, Vladimir Remek and his Russian commander Alexei Gubarev, appeared on the monitor in front of him, he waxed lyrical.
Dva bratry, Vacoví, spíše dvojčata ve svých skafandrech a ochranných přilbách.
They look like two brothers, or even twins, in their spacesuits and helmets, representing two brother socialist countries. Cosmic brothers. The symbolism mingles with reality.
Kosmičtí bratři. Symbolika tu prolíná ve skutečnost.
Soyuz 28 linked up successfully with the Salyut 6 space station, and Remek and Gubarev remained in orbit for nearly 8 days, joining the two cosmonauts already at the station. Remek addressed the people of Czechoslovakia in Czech.
Chtěl bych především poděkovat ústřednímu výboru komunistické strany Sovětského svazu, radě ministrů SSSR a soudru Leonidu Iliči Brežněvovi.
He began by thanking the Central Committee of the Soviet Communist Party, the Politburo, and Comrade Brezhnev, and then went on to talk of the symbolism in the fact that the flight coincided with the 30th anniversary of the communist takeover in Czechoslovakia. It was back then, in those victorious days of February 1948, that our flight into the cosmos really began. And now here I am, in space, with my friends. And Remek ended by greeting his compatriots back in Czechoslovakia with the final words, "See you back on Earth." The two-man crew of Soyuz 28 returned to Earth safely at 13:44 Universal Time On March the 10th, 1978, the exhausted Vladimír Remek had just a few very brief words for the Czech and Slovak radio and TV crews. I'm glad we got it over with. The landing was quite smooth. I'm glad to be back. Thank you. Over 30 years later, Vladimír Remek now represents the Communist Party in the European Parliament, retaining the political beliefs of his young days as the first and last Czechoslovak cosmonaut.
From the archives with David Vaughan. And as always, if you'd like to comment or have any questions about this feature or any others here on Radio Prague, be sure to contact us by writing to english@radio.cz. Now, very briefly, this week saw new results of an extensive study mapping Czech sexual behavior. In next week's Talking Point, that's on Tuesday, we'll look at some of the results on Czech habits between the sheets, and we'll be talking to Professor Petr Weiss, who headed the project. One thing you'll find out, one of the most common places Czech teens, well, lose their virginity.
In Czech Republic, we have the culture of cottages or weekend houses, and it is not a big surprise that this is a place of the first intercourse in the more than half of Czech boys and girls.
So there, the Professor Weiss talking about sex habits in the Czech Republic. If there's anything you wanted to know about Czech sex but were afraid to ask, tune in next week for Talking Point. That brings us today's main feature, Panorama. Rosie Johnston looks at the history of a famous Czech expatriates organization in Brussels. The organization was founded early in the 20th century, exists to this day, and Rosie met some of its members during a recent visit.
Expatriate organization Beseda Volnost was founded in the Brussels pub of a Mr. Antonín Trojan in 1904. Its membership has grown some from the original 29 Czechs, who signed up to pay their half a franc yearly fee back then, but the club's mission remains more or less the same. Over the past century, Beseda has provided Czechs living in Belgium with a means of keeping their culture alive and has raised funds for a number of good causes, such as the Prague floods in 2002. On a recent trip to Brussels, I met two of the expatriates most active in Beseda Volnost. One of the club's longest-serving committee members is Alena Gilbert. She moved to Belgium nearly a quarter of a century ago to live with her Belgian husband.
It is a little bit long story. We were working together. We were both businessmen and women. I was selling steel, Czech steel, and he was buying our steel. And one day it happened that he has asked me to marry him, and I said yes. But it was still in the time of communism, so it was not so easy. It lasted 1 year before I was permitted to come here, because I did not leave Czechoslovakia. I was officially asking. We were married there in Prague. And then he returned here, but I could not because I still did not have papers. But after, in 1 year, I followed him, and since then, it means from 1984, I am living here in Belgium.
Anita Březinová is the president of Beseda. She too settled in Belgium because of a significant other.
V 90. já jsem pracovala pro firmu.
In 1990, I was working for a firm which sent me here to set up a subsidiary of this company, which they then wanted to move to the Czech Republic. So I came here with my daughter, who was very little at the time, and it was here I met my future husband. We said at the time, let's spend 3 months living together and see. And what was originally supposed to be 3 months has turned into 20 years.
Alena Gilbert didn't become involved in Beseda straight away upon arrival in Brussels, but in the late 1980s, just before the fall of communism in Central and Eastern Europe.
Because it was not permitted to enter Czechoslovakia, because many people left unofficially Czechoslovakia. So the door to Czechoslovakia was closed very firmly. So at these meetings, they were these people who could not travel to Czechoslovakia. They were coming there and they were listening. First of all, they were coming also the members of the embassy. And they were telling us all very important things, what is happening in Czechia. But it was official. But otherwise, for instance, I could travel any time I wanted to Czechoslovakia, so always when I came, so I was telling all the gossips and everything, and we were, it was very nice because these people were very friendly, they were interested to work in such club.
Tak jako slunečnice každým dnem potáčí se za sluncem, tak já stále hlavu svou obracím jen za tebou.
It was memories. All people wanted to know about Czechoslovakia, which was very dear to them, but unfortunately because of political system, they just could not go there.
At Besedan in the 1980s, people like Elena, who'd gone through all the government channels to get a visa to live abroad, and even government officials from the Czechoslovak embassy in Brussels, mixed with those who'd fled the country and had their citizenship revoked in 1968. With all of its members having very different personal backgrounds, were there not conflicts in Besedan?
It was strictly prohibited to talk about politics, and it helped a lot. Because we are, all of us, we have different political meanings, and if we would start protecting our party or what, then it would be bad, it would be fight, so it is prohibited. Till today we are unpolitical club.
Kéž, ladičko, kéž bys promluvila, vždyť ty vlastně dávno patříš k nám.
Discussing the situation in Czechoslovakia was one of the activities favoured by Beseda members, but it was by no means the only thing that those assembled did.
During these meetings, it was not only talking. They were also, we were listening to the music, because there was the gramophone, because it was in the old age, of course, it was not yet the CD or these things, these inventions like today. So we were singing also together. Really, it was very nice. Today people would not maybe understand it, but then it was necessary and all people were very pleased with it.
Elena Gilbert remembers fondly another highlight of Beseda's yearly cultural calendar.
We had two dancing balls. It was called balls, but it was not in long dresses, but it was everybody came nicely dressed. And there was usually Czech music who came from Czechia. So it was very nice, and these people were inviting also Belgian people. So it was mixing of nationalities.
But now, after the fall of the Iron Curtain, and when Brussels Czechs can travel freely back to their land of origin, does an expat organisation such as Beseda still have a purpose? Yes, says President Anita Březinová.
I think that right now our organisation, and indeed all Czech expat organisations, have a real importance. Because of course people can travel home easily and they do have the internet and so on, but they do want to maintain their identity. They want to sing Czech songs, speak to fellow Czechs. They want to meet their friends to exchange experiences. They can swap tips on finding jobs here. They can discuss how this or that aspect of life in Belgium works. And so that is the role of our organization.
In fact, according to Anita Březinová, Beseda Volnost finds itself in the unusual position of having an ever larger group of people who are interested in the organization's activities.
Spolek samozřejmě se rozšířil, protože je tady větší česká základna.
The organization has grown, of course, because there are more and more Czechs here. They're working for European institutions, they're working in Antwerp, they're studying in Kent. You just meet Czechs everywhere here now. You can't go out in Antwerp without hearing Czech spoken. But actually, the number of people who are members of our club has fallen slightly. Because the younger generations come to all our events, but don't necessarily want to join up and pay a membership fee. So actually, it's a bit of a problem that a great number of people come to our events, but our membership figures remain more or less the same.
Elena Gilbert said that in the past, Beseda organized events such as balls and musical evenings. But what about nowadays? What sort of events does Anita Březinová put on?
Teď, protože je doba předsednictví a první půl rok jsou v Bruselu.
Well, right now, because it is the Czech presidency of the European Union and there are so many cultural activities on in Brussels to mark the presidency, we have actually stopped a lot of our events because the Czechs here are just so busy they don't have the time and no one would come to these events. We're focusing right now on our webpage instead, but in September we'll get back to the usual program and things will revert to normal.
Jako podle starých plánů a vše půjde, jak má.
Beseda still organizes dances, theater performances and barbecues for Czechs and Czechophiles in Belgium. To find out more about the organization and upcoming events, go to its website, the address for which you can find on our website.
You've been listening to Panorama with Rosie Johnston, which takes us to the end of today's program. I'm Jan Vellinger. For all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for tuning in.